Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
Not coming from Brent Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns. And yeah. You're seeing exactly
you know
what
why
people
it's not,
outside of Cleveland
you know,
think of the Browns, outside of Browns.
You know
fans.
Why it's not coming from those guys? Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him, and they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a grand conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right, and the Shador fans, you wackos. Maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
Final 15 seconds of the quarter.
A Hooper on the backside of the formation, 81 in blue.
May, pressure coming by Judon. May steps up, looking to keep it. May, touchdown with a late flag. Judon could not catch up with Drake May. Let's see what the penalty is. And the Patriots are celebrating.
Holding, defense number 25. That penalty's declined. He's up for the play as a touchdown.
And New England will go for two.
High noon, Jones and Keith, WEEI. Normally we talk to Tom E. Curran on a Tom E. Tuesday.
12 Central today for Tom E.
12 Central
yeah.
is when we're going to talk to Tom E. Curran. Do you think?
That could be what it is.
Well, you think he's ducking us because of the J.J. McCarthy stuff? You think that's what it is?
Maybe he's the J.J. McCarthy stuff.
He's just mortified.
Maybe he was up all night watching Tom Brady's team play Monday Night Football, the second doubleheader. The doubleheader I don't care for. I saw somebody, was it old friend of the show, Adam Rank? Somebody was like, this is what it should always be. It should always be doubleheader Monday Night Football. And I was like, it should never be doubleheader Monday Night Football.
I've heard that take before, and the reason for that is it helps the it's from the league's perspective, it helps protect you against a crappy game.
Yeah.
You play two of them, then people won't be pissed if there's a dog crap Monday night game. Because you get a better late game or a better early game, and then it's not a bad game. So they're hedging their bets a little bit.
The 10 o'clock Monday night game is a late start.
I like the standalone game. I like
you
a Thursday game.
Yeah.
I like a Monday night game. I like a Sunday night game. I'm not telling you I watch them every week.
Too, right? Like, hey, you're on Monday Night Football, and here comes Sergio Dipp.
I got to get...
And you're like, what?
Or Fowler, Riddick, Orlovsky.
No thanks.
Fowler with no voice.
I have another gripe for another day with Chris Fowler. But
what's
yes,
your gripe with Fowler?
Not he's stick to tennis is what I would say to Chris Fowler. I'd say when he gets on football broadcast, that includes college, not good.
And it's really true because he was like the main guy.
He's
for
great
game
on
day.
Tremendous
he's awesome
on game,
game
day. He should go back to that. I'm sure he's moved up in his career and he's well compensated
he
and everything else.
He wants to do this because there was a time where he was just doing game day and he was awesome, and then he like sort of graduated to like the big college football game. And you're like, why is
he stinks
the
at
game?
It? Yeah, and apparently the one or two Monday night games he does, he stinks at even worse.
Yeah, he's really bad. It's still better than Rex Ryan, Beth Mowins, and Sergio Dipp. That was amazing.
All right, I'll give Fowler that. I'll give Chris Fowler that.
I still remember where I was. That was a where I was moment, and I was locked in because they go to this guy, deer in headlights. He panics. He does the whole
spiel.
Were
we not working together at night when that happened?
I don't
think
so.
Because I was 1,000% still at night.
No, I don't. So I think I was at this station.
Because I think we played some of it.
And here he is.
After the fact.
Having the time of his life.
So that was Broncos Raiders, I think? It was definitely Broncos.
Because
it was Vance Joseph. But they... So they go to him early. I was like flabbergasted. I was like, I don't know how I caught that. I watched the rest of the game.
They
got to go back to him, right? No. Never went back to him. He was a one and done that whole night.
Beth, coach, it's a pleasure to be with you guys here on the field from up close, just watching Coach Vance Joseph from here. You watch him now on the screen.
This was Boom Goes the Dynamite, but on Monday Night Football. And I was like, this is electric.
On live national television.
You're watching him on the screen. Yeah. So he's like telling us we're doing.
And here he is having the time of his life this night, making his head coaching debut.
Prepare anything?
That's a little editorializing there.
Yeah, right.
But the first part was accurate.
You're speaking for him.
You're watching him on the screen.
You are watching him on the screen. This is a televised game. I'm here. I'm here. You guys aren't. You're watching it on a screen. I loved every second of that, and they never, ever went back to him.
They're
like, what if
more,
somebody gets hurt? Are they going to go to him?
More Beth Mowins. They're like, you know what? Less Sergio, more Beth and Rex.
And then we're talking about Fowler being like fish out of water when he goes from doing like the round table where he's great to the game where he's not as good. Rex Ryan, same thing. Rex Ryan, he's like calling Mike McDaniel nerd boy. He's like super comfortable in like the first take set.
Yeah.
Then you put him in a game, he like panics. It's like he's like so quiet, no energy. You're like, what has happened to these guys?
Once again, should we offer our services for any play by play and analyst needs? Yeah. Well, we should offer our services for that. We are available.
I'd be happy to.
We are open and willing.
Fly us out to LA for the next doubleheader on Monday Night Football.
Good question about the double. If you're going to have a doubleheader, remember when for a couple of years they were toying around with staggering them versus each game is you get like the full window for each
game. Yeah, like a 7:30 and like a 9 or something like that.
And then you flip over at halftime. If you're going to have two, I'd rather be able to watch them both in their entirety than have to flip back and forth halfway through the game.
Yeah, but that just takes away of the appeal and the showcase game. But I also feel like over the years, I don't know if it's just ESPN and NBC and how they fight over it or whatever, but the better game is almost always Sunday night, at least on paper.
Yep.
It's like Sunday night, like, wow. And so they finally changed it where they're allowing Monday night to also flex games too, right?
Yep. And they have better broadcasters now, Buck and Aikman, so that
helps. Yeah, they've better broadcasters, but like I feel like they usually have a lot of bad games.
Yeah.
They somehow do have like kind of stinkers. But
So look, I think
the Patriots play on Monday night against the Giants this year. Like they picked that at the beginning of the year. They're like, give me Pat's
Giants.
That's
one they can flex out?
Oh, good question. December 1st, week 13, so maybe they can.
Where is it?
It's here.
Yeah, so there's no Kraft will never allow that to get flexed
true.
Off. It doesn't matter. And I guess they did get flexed off Sunday night a couple of years ago. But
in a 3-week span, the Patriots play. Yeah,
maybe I shouldn't say Kraft. Maybe Kraft doesn't have that influence anymore, but I doubt
that's
that'll
true.
Get flexed.
They had a Taylor Swift game. Is that
what
you just said?
Yeah, the Chiefs game, yeah.
Jets week 11 is a Thursday night game, and then Pats. So like the Patriots are the better team in two of these games late in the year on primetime television.
I mean, I don't know. Russ was just throwing for 450 this last weekend. I don't think he's going to be playing on Monday Night Football.
He was slinging it. Do they have their coach and or quarterback in week 13?
Definitely not the quarterback. Is Daboll still there? That's a good question. 617-779-7937. We mentioned this a couple of times, but Geno Smith looked up much more pedestrian, not against the Patriots defense. So make of that what you will. I also think Justin Herbert looks like he's moving really, really well. That's probably the better high-end comp. It's still a very high-end comp for Drake May than Josh Allen. And speaking of Drake May, we played you the rushing touchdown there from 6 yards out where he gets into the end zone. We came in yesterday, Keith, applauding the mobility, applauding the decision to let him roll out more, bootleg more. They still didn't design a ton of runs for him, but he ran it 10 times. A couple of them were kneel downs, but he ran it 10 times. He had one 13-yarder. He had the touchdown there.
Uh-huh.
So they let Drake May be more athletic, more explosive, be the player that you drafted him to be. And we applauded that yesterday. And we came in yesterday knowing Joe Burrow was going to be out probably for the year, but at least for the next 3 months, turf toe. We came in yesterday knowing that Justin Fields was going to be in concussion protocol. And then we found out through the course of the day, other quarterbacks getting hurt. Jaden Daniels may not play this weekend. J.J. McCarthy, high ankle sprain, going to miss maybe 3-4 games. So all of a sudden you look at it and you go, well, these quarterbacks are getting hurt. Do the people who say, you shouldn't let Drake May run, and we want to see him slide and protect himself like we did in week one. Do those people have a point based on the rash of injuries we've seen at the QB position?
So I don't think so, just because you're still trying to get the most out of these quarterbacks. And I think there's a difference between just like playing scared but also playing smart. And I think as these quarterbacks get a little bit older, they usually have a pretty good idea of what to do. I think Lamar Jackson, now that's high end, the guy who was the MVP of the league, but he was even more of a runner. Like he was a straight up runner. The guy had 1,000-yard seasons, but even he has sort of known how to limit the number of hits he has taken. Jaden Daniels hasn't, it's not all on him. Like his offensive line's not very good and it wasn't great last year either, but he takes so many hits. So he needs to know that he just can't take that many hits. I don't think his body can handle it. We had a text earlier. Is like, is this going to turn into like Robert Griffin III all over again?
Like that makes sense. That makes a lot of sense.
They were both electric as rookies. And then, I don't know, they just continue to take a lot of hits and the wear and tear kind of gets to you. Because I would say 9 out of the top 10, like quarterback seasons, if you will, from last season, were guys that were willing to run, guys that ran a lot. They didn't play scared. And they all played in every game. Jalen Hurts missed a couple of games, but all the other top guys played. And they weren't like, hey, Lamar and Josh Allen and Kyler Murray and Bo Nix and Jaden Daniels, like, don't run. Don't run. Don't do that. There's also another part of it, too, another layer. We brought this up earlier, but, like, you do need to protect the quarterback, which goes back to why the fourth overall pick in the draft was a left tackle for the Patriots, and it wasn't something else.
Look, I wanted two players at pick four, at least, over Will Campbell. Genty has looked atrocious. Yeah. I also like Tyler Warren, who's been better, but, I mean, what would you rather have, a tight end or a guy who looks like he could be at least a league average tackle and maybe better than that in Will Campbell? You know, if you're talking about position scarcity and need on this team, you know, you make the case for the left tackle. Campbell's been good. Yeah. He had a bunch of penalties week one. Mm-hmm. He had a false start last week. But if you look at the Pro Football Focus grades and things like that, Bedard, we read you the comment from Bedard earlier that both he and Wilson were better than the veterans this past week. They were nearly flawless. So, yeah, so far it's only two games.
Yeah.
But through two games, he looks like he belongs. He looks like a good pick.
Yeah, no, he does. And even Jared Wilson, big bounce back game for him. He wasn't great in week one. Week two, he looks a whole lot better. It feels like there's a chance we might see Marcus Bryant in week three. Morgan Moses walking around in the boots. You might have three rookies out there, but if they can play, they could play. Because some of these other quarterbacks that you mentioned and the guys that are already hurt this season, they have bad offensive lines. And it is something that, like, we kind of were able to look the other way from it for 20 years because, with the exception of 2008, Tom Brady played week one and played all the way through the season and just kept moving on. But this isn't like a new phenomenon. I mean, every single year, it felt like the Patriots would take advantage of when Team X's quarterback went down and you're not facing the backup. Remember even like the Boogeyman defense, which was like a fake good defense?
Yeah.
They just destroyed Ellinger. They destroyed all these backup quarterbacks because that's what the league was.
That was the Max Zappi year. We were actually talking about this the other day. Yeah. There was a year
where all it was backups.
Where it was, you know, Mac got the high ankle sprain, speaking of quarterback injuries, early in the year. Zappi comes in. He wins a couple of games. He replaces Mac. I think it was Monday Night Football against the Bears, right? Monday night or Sunday night? Primetime game. Yep. Monday night, I think.
I don't know where they got smoked.
Well, but Zappi came in and threw a couple of touchdowns, they went back to Mac. And Mac won a few games, and us Zappi people were saying, well, they're playing nobody. It's all these banged-up a-hole quarterbacks.
It's all bad quarterbacks, yeah.
They took advantage of it. So, yeah, I mean, we used to take the health of a quarterback for granted. And in fairness to the people who don't want to see Drake May run, and there's a lot of you, the people who don't want him to be, I don't even want to say a run-first quarterback, but they don't want to put him in harm's way. Yeah. And to put it a certain way, they want to baby him. Well, May had to leave a game last year with a concussion where he didn't come back. There was another game that he left against the Rams late in the year that he returned to. The Chargers late in the year that he returned to. So I understand people saying that. I disagree with them, but I think they have a point. When you look at all these quarterbacks, Jaden Daniels, knee sprain, might miss this week. What's he going to look like when he comes back? A mobile quarterback with a bum knee.
Not great.
How's that going to look when he comes
combo.
Back?
Yeah, put a big knee brace on him.
So even if he's back in, call it this weekend, he's not 100%. What does he look like? That takes away a lot of his game. Justin Fields is different level of quarterback in shorter term. He's in concussion protocol. Brock Purdy is out for who knows how long. Mac Jones is in for him with a shoulder and turf toe injury. Turf toe took down Joe Burrow probably for the whole year. Mm-hmm. And who's the – McCarthy is the other one. Which, by the way, you see who's replacing him?
Oh, no.
Carson Wentz?
Oh, they have Wentz.
Carson Wentz. Yeah, they traded Sam Howell like after the preseason.
That's right.
That's Drake May's bud.
I know.
That's Drake May's best friend. That's my best friend. That's why he was overhyped in the Minnesota game and somehow against the Raiders as well.
He's all gassed up.
Yeah.
So a team facing the Patriots should just sign Sam Howell, and then that way he'll be a little freaked out, a little gassed up. But yeah, all right, so the Carson Wentz project, we'll get another look at that. But, I mean, the league has already done everything they can to take out quarterback injuries outside of just turning it into flag football. Tom Brady's flag football, like, that's the next step. Like, if you really, really, really want to just get rid of all quarterback injuries, I think that's what you have to do.
617-779-7937. Two quick items on Christian Gonzalez. Keith, we were talking about Gonzo right before the top of the hour.
That's right.
Two tweets came in. I find them both to be interesting.
Two tweets.
One from our pal Matt Jensen. He says, guys, Gonzo literally said he had a setback.
He did.
On Instagram, his song, Keith.
Oh, that's right.
We've been saying, well, what does it sound like again?
They get back on.
Okay.
All right. So just to.
We interpreted that
get
as.
Get back, mother MF-er. Bleeper. Yeah.
We interpreted that as he's about to be back. We were clearly
turns
wrong.
Turns out setback.
What he's saying
I'm not back. I got a setback.
The get back is an MF-er. He's acknowledging that it was a setback.
Okay.
And that's what he was trying to tell us with that Instagram post.
As good a guess as any.
They get back on my- we were 1,000% wrong. We said he was going to be back. We thought that meant he was going to be back. We clearly didn't know how to interpret
that.
Got
anything else?
On Instagram? I think he did have something today,
Did.
Yeah, what was it?
New week, new blessings.
That's promising.
And a picture of him in, not a uniform, but a cut-off hoodie. Cut-off Patriots hoodie.
Yeah, I don't love that.
He's smiling, though.
Oh, he is. He does look happy. New blessing.
Yep. New week, new blessing.
New week, new blessing.
It's true.
Meanwhile, our guy Ray in Cumberland also tweeted this, Keith. This is good.
Okay. What do you got?
My buddy is protecting his source.
Oh, boy.
He doesn't want to get in trouble, but he swears to me Vrabel and Gonzo had to be separated.
All right.
Okay. What?
No, okay. Just add it to the table. Like,
yeah,
we obviously can't confirm nor deny that.
Didn't we have the mailman who went by Josh McDaniels' home, right? What did we have way back when? We had a good scoop on that.
Oh, we did.
Yeah, we also had the guy that's like, Devers is looking for Yankee, or looking for first base.
I didn't say we got them all right.
All right.
But I don't want to turn the blind that when a buddy like ours, Ray,
loves the show,
is passing along this information, I want to make sure that I pass it along.
Or we'll add it.
But yeah, the Josh McDaniels one was like, oh, he's been out real early getting his paper.
Yeah,
that's true. Early bird gets the worm.
Pretty accurate is what it
like
was.
He wants to be
wasn't getting his paper and they were stacking up. I can't remember, but it was some guy driving by with newspapers.
He wasn't picking up his newspaper. That's what it was, I think.
Yeah, either way, there was some intel associated with Josh McDaniels.
Okay, so let's track that one.
All right. I'm on it.
617-779-7937. We can continue with the offense as well. Apparently, we're not allowed to second guess anything they did offensively because they beat the what?
Uh-oh.
What?
In the context of that song, according to the text line, that
what?
Get back a mother bleeper means getting back at someone. So that would be getting back at the organization?
Can we hear it one more time? Let's see. Can we just listen to that in that context now one more time? They get back a mother. I think him and Vrabel had to be separated. now that I hear it, I think that's what's going on.
Oh, no.
Okay, well, we're not allowed to second guess anything when it comes to the offense anymore because they beat up on the crap-ass Dolphins, apparently. We'll explain.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know who. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
You know, the hysteria over the offense was in Drake May was just ridiculous last week. And I think they put all that to bed today. I thought that Drake May was completely in command. He was comfortable. He was decisive. You know, he looked like a guy to me that took the film and the teaching points off of last week's film and applied them. And I think that's a really good sign that he is a very quick learner. And I, you know, talking to Hunter Henry, Stephon Diggs in the locker room, you know, they thought the same thing. They thought that he was terrific.
I can't question anything anymore, Keith. Good to know.
Nope, all set. Everything's fixed. Yeah, I don't know. That's necessarily the case. I'll take it as a great week two.
Yeah.
You're going to ride the highs and lows because there's also after week one, there's a lot of people that were like, hey, it's the NFL. You don't really know anything about your team till 4 weeks, which I do agree with some of that, but it's also, well,
in the meantime, let's point out what we don't like.
Let's talk about it.
Yeah.
Let's talk about it, you know, each day as we move forward, gather more data, as it were. But you might have felt pretty bad about week one. You feel really great about week two. So if you add those together, it sort of beats somewhere in the middle. And that's why I do think like a lot of, you know, this game coming up on Sunday against Pittsburgh, sort of like another similar opponent. Pittsburgh, Miami, Vegas, somewhat similar. Maybe Miami's the worst of the three, but that's fine.
I mean, those cats are going to be backed into a corner in week four, Keith.
Yeah.
So you got to
look. Sir Purr? They're going to see Sir Purr down there.
You don't want to back a cat into a corner like that.
God, no.
The way my Panthers have been backed into a corner here these first couple of weeks. But no, it's another winnable game, and they're all winnable games. That's the whole point of the schedule all year long. And why Keith had him for 10 and I had him for 9 and we both had them in the playoffs, is because there's so many winnable games. And this week is another one. And make no mistake, you might think Pittsburgh, you might think Steel Curtain, no. You might think TJ Watt and a strong defense.
They are giving up some points.
They have been a horrendous defense the first 2 weeks.
Yep.
So this is a defense you should take advantage of, especially because Will Campbell has looked pretty good the first couple of weeks. So look, I have questions big picture about McDaniels and the offense, but I always did. I asked a lot of questions after week one. I've asked less after this week, but I do want to push back on, like, well, what are you going to say about the offense now? What are your complaints going to be now? Well, I think what they did with Drake May in week two hammers home the point that you wanted to give Drake May more stuff he was comfortable with.
Mm-hmm.
And Josh McDaniels did have to make alterations, specifically the pre-snap motion is something he changed. There was a significant drastic change week one to week two, which tells me we were all onto something with our criticisms after week one. It doesn't mean McDaniels is responding to it. They probably knew it and they corrected it. Good for them. But I'd have criticisms of the offense just in the fourth quarter of last week. Did you like the throw on second down, Keith? You've now heard Vrabel's explanation a couple of different times. We like a bold coach.
Yeah.
Text line took us to task about this yesterday. They're like, you guys love when Dan Campbell goes for it or when Ben Johnson used to go for it. Now the Pats go for it and you're criticizing them. Fair. It usually works when the Lions do it, but that's with the benefit of hindsight. I didn't love that decision.
Mm-hmm.
And if you're going to throw on second down, maybe don't throw it to Mac Hollins. I know he had a touchdown on that same play earlier, but maybe that's a play for Diggs, or maybe that's a play for the way it was working in the game, Ramondre Stevenson. I don't know. And furthermore, I didn't like how they couldn't run out the clock. It's tied into that same decision,
yeah,
but they couldn't run out the clock at the end of the game. So if you have criticisms for the offense, I think those ones are fair.
No, I think it's
and
not.
All I can hear is criticize.
I agree, and I also, I mean, it's not sustainable to have your wide receivers such a non-factor in the game because you could argue, well, they had two touchdowns. They also had seven catches as a group. Like, the four receivers that were out there combined for seven catches, they weren't really doing a whole lot. It was a big Ramondre Stevenson game. He was awesome. Drake May was very efficient, and the offensive line played a good game. That's all that is really, really good. But, yeah, no, going back to it, in real time, I wanted them to run the ball or come up with, like, one of those automatic completions. They weren't able to do it. It gave Miami another chance. There was also, I don't know if you want to say they got away with it or it ended up being the right call by Vrabel. It's fourth and two. It suddenly becomes fourth and seven, and now you end up kicking a field goal. The guy who's missed two extra points. But that wasn't perfect offensive execution.
No, that's
that
a good
whole
point.
Series, you
false,
know, like,
false start. That was Moses, right? False start. Morgan Moses.
It sure was.
I mean, if you were just going to guess who had the false starts, it was Morgan Moses.
No, but like, there's still plenty to clean up, and like, that's not a Drake thing. That's
good
not
point.
A McDaniels thing. But like, if you're offensive line, it's fourth and two in a drive that you say we're going for it,
mm-hmm.
and I don't know what the play call would have been. I don't know if that's come out or anywhere. They probably didn't tell anybody. But like, whatever that was. They got a 2-point conversion with Ramondre. Maybe they would have just given it right back to Ramondre. I don't know what they would have done, but that would have been for the game, and that would have been a great play to see. But then, nope, you're not disciplined enough to know the snap count,
and
now it's 4th and 7, and then you're bringing a kicker out there who nobody had confidence in. Maybe Vrabel does it, maybe more in hindsight, but he's like, this is the right call.
No chance he was confident. He can say he wants.
You
brought this up yesterday. He's got to coddle some of the players.
Yeah.
He's coddling Borregales.
So he made it.
You know, he was coddling some of the young offensive linemen, too. He's doing it differently with Drake May. He did make the kick, but I was fully in favor of going for that on 4th and 2.
But it also wasn't a, hey, this puts us up 2 possessions. That put you up 6, which is great. Now, it takes the field goal out of it for Miami, but they were in it to the point where, like, a minute later, it felt like they had won the game,
mm-hmm.
right, or tied the game and about kick an extra point, but that didn't happen.
The other thing I'd say about the offense, and we don't know this yet, unless you want to count the Raiders game week one. If the game's not played on your terms, what does it look like? And that's not a criticism of week two. That's just a big picture question I'd have because it's going to come up again. And maybe it comes up this week. Maybe it comes up in the Buffalo game a few weeks from now. You're behind and you got to throw and you're not dictating the game on your terms, running the football. And, you know, largely the way that they were in front for the game, they weren't leaders wire to wire,
right.
But they were mostly playing from in front. If that's not the case, how does it look? And I don't think we have the answer on that yet, but that's something I'd like to know the answer on. I think we're going to get more information on throughout the course of the year. That, of course, ties in with the defense, which has been horrendous.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that continued last night. It wasn't just watching them week one against Geno Smith. It wasn't just watching them last week against Tua. And what we thought were going to be a dead-ass Dolphins team, which had every opportunity to roll over and die, and because you couldn't get stops on defense, and because you gave up yards and chunk plays on defense, you breathed life into Mike McDaniel and that Dolphins offense early on in the game when you could have just blown him out. But it also continued to last night, Keith, where Geno Smith looked like a totally different quarterback than he did against this defense.
Yeah, but that's the thing, too, with so many of these young – or not young, so many of these, like, middle-of-the-road quarterbacks, and it's why they haven't been able to, like, vault themselves into that top tier. But they also still are going to get plenty of chances because they're not the bottom-out guys. Like, Geno Smith, Sam Darnold, who have sort of changed teams, Tua, that's how I've always felt about Tua, even, like, this version of Aaron Rodgers – they're all capable of, like, the really good game, the really bad game, the really good game, the really bad game. So, like, now defensively, like, what do you do to make sure that that's the really bad game? And right now, I feel like the Pats are getting pretty good pressure on these quarterbacks, but they can't cover. And so is it just personnel, or is this where you get into, like, you know, your defensive coordinator also wasn't there for game two, and, like, how much of a factor has that been? How much of a part of the game plan is he? But not having Gonzalez stands out. I mean, you've given up a ton of passing yards to two okay quarterbacks, and you're going to see a lot of guys like that this year. But are they going to have, you know, season highs against you every week if you don't have anybody who can cover?
617-779-7937. That's your phone and text number. This is a good text, Keith. It's clear what happened with Gonzalez.
Uh-oh.
He was told by Vrabel he could no longer do his weekly chit-chat with his best buddies, Jones and Keefe, and he lost his mind.
Could be the case.
That's true.
That's the revenge. They're revenge again. It's versus Mike Vrabel.
Yes.
Because
he's like,
not
what time do I go on?
When am I doing 10 questions every Monday with Jones and Keefe?
Oh, sorry, Christian Ellis is taking your spot. We traded Christians. And he'd be like, oh, no.
We're going to do the surprise question of the week with Hunter Henry every week. Mm-hmm. And so, Gonzo, you're out, and he lost his mind.
Sad. I can see it.
When they're negotiating that new – I know they can't offer it to Gonzo
they
yet.
They cannot.
When they're negotiating that new deal with Gonzo, I think we got to make sure it's a standing offer every Monday here on Patriots. Maybe get that written in.
Definitely.
And
we'll just kick around some questions. 10 of them.
Yeah, 10 of them.
Give or take.
Some listener submissions.
Yep. Some yes or no.
Some out of our own minds.
Some would you rathers.
All over the place. Good theory there on the text line, though. Mm-hmm. 617-779-7937. We'll get back to your feedback. Tommy Curran at high noon Central Time.
Woo!
A.K.A. High 1 o'clock.
Yes.
Here on Jones and Keefe. And we have a Keefe for Madness for you coming up next.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
It's time for Kiefer Madness.
Kiefer Madness!
Richard Keefe, I think it is. Rich Keefe.
Who is that?
How you doing, ladies and gentlemen? My name is Joshua Adams.
What now? It's Kiefer Madness.
Where's Keefe?
Where is he?
Where's Keefe?
Where is Keefe?
Hey, Keefe, you're a dude.
I was doing Junko Inoshima from Danganronpa.
I'm a firm believer in UFOs and Sasquatch.
That's funny.
Yo, Kiefer Madness is so hit or miss.
Keefe's a nice guy.
Keefe's a nice guy.
Okay.
Kiefer Madness?
It's Kiefer Madness on WEEI.
I bring it.
Undeterred by setting themselves on fire, police say these bumbling bandits have been back.
NBC 10 Sam Reed shows us something naughty but good.
She may have even been hit by a chunk of the mystery meat.
Police say the crooks were wielding two ball pythons.
All right, here we go. It is time for Kiefer Madness on Jones and Keefe WEEI. We have a bit of a sports madness.
No.
We don't typically have sports madness.
For the first time since Manti Te'o.
It might be the first one. It's typically not that, but this one happened just recently. It involves the AL East. The AL Beast.
Okay.
Not Red Sox, not Yankees, though.
Okay.
We might have a new rivalry brewing between the two bird teams in the division. I don't know if you've heard about this story. Blue Jays, Orioles just played each other.
Definitely not.
A lot of controversy. They're talking about it up in Canada. Oh. So our neighbors to the north are very upset about something that happened.
Okay. They really only have, like, captain's practices and things to talk about, right? There's not. That's right. CFL, I think, has wrapped up. NHL hasn't gotten, so they don't have much to talk about, so they're steamed about this.
This could be the Leafs' year, but it's probably not going to be the Leafs' year.
Well, probably not.
So they're upset with something else, and it's got everybody buzzing up there. And you'll have to tell me at the end of this if it's something that they should be this fired up about.
Okay.
All right, let's find out.
There's a lot of trash talk in any sport, but comments from a U.S. broadcaster about the baseball IQ of Blue Jays fans are ruffling a lot of feathers.
Good.
I like that. Very smart.
Like that. Yeah.
Both of these teams have birds and feathers. But so, and they're already splitting us, which I don't like. We're not all baseball fans. There's American fans and there's Canadian fans. Can we all just enjoy the great sport?
It's a divisive climate out there, Keith. We're too divisive these days.
We'll have to ask Bradford about this on Thursday because baseball isn't boring.
Well, I'm sure he's addressed this on the Baseball Isn't Boring podcast. You would think he should answer to this.
An American broadcaster questioning the IQ of us Blue Jays fans? Not today.
There's a lot of trash talk in any sport, but comments from a U.S. broadcaster about the baseball IQ of Blue Jays fans are ruffling a lot of feathers. CTV's John Benevelli Rao digs into what was said and the response.
Okay.
After sweeping the Baltimore Orioles, the Blue Jays continue to be one of the best teams in baseball, almost certainly destined for the playoffs.
It's not very bold right there. That's
certainly desperate. They've had like a 99 point. Are they clinched yet?
I don't want to be that ugly American taking the American side, but I do feel like the IQ there seems a touch lacking. But okay, let's keep hearing out.
They have, according to this site, they have a greater than 99.9% chance of making
almost certainly.
Yes.
I would just say they're going to be in the playoffs, but whatever. Okay,
fine.
Okay. Semantics. I don't want to question their IQ.
Semantics.
Yeah.
Very excited. I'd love their chances.
Hey, guys. It's Brian Roberts here.
But on Friday, this former Orioles second baseman and now broadcast color commentator.
Oh!
Little Brian Roberts. Random, he'll steal you back.
Random ball player of the day, or was he too good?
He might have been too good. Brian Roberts had a nice career.
Bunch of all-star games, I think, in there, right?
Mitchell Report.
Oh, was he?
Yeah, he was on the Mitchell Report, which was a great example.
I don't want to show my lack of IQ, but okay.
Because everybody thought it was just going to be like McGuire, Sosa, Canseco, but it was like Brendan Donnelly, Brian Roberts. Yeah, Brian Roberts steal your bag, Jones. In the year 2007, he stole 50 bags.
Oh, yeah.
Two-time All-Star, led the league in doubles twice.
Those must have been the Mitchell Report years.
04 and 09.
Okay.
Yeah, when was Mitchell Report? 04? No. 07, maybe.
That sounds more right.
I think it might have been 07. But anyway, so now Brian Roberts in a little bit of hot water. That's who they're talking about here. Yep.
And now broadcast color commentator took a swing at Canadian fans after the crowd in Toronto booed a pickoff attempt by the Orioles pitcher who was trying to keep the Blue Jays base runner from stealing second.
Okay, that's good IQ. That's what he was trying to do.
So the reason why the pitcher threw the ball over to first base is he didn't want the guy that was running on first base to get to second base.
So then they booed.
The crowd booed it. Yeah. And Brian Roberts was like, well, actually, we'll tell you what Brian Roberts
said.
What'd he say?
Yeah.
Brian Roberts saying this on air.
Sometimes we had some major questions about the baseball IQ of some Canadians here and there.
He didn't think the fans should boo.
This is what they're steamed about.
Yep.
Let me hear it one more time. Maybe on a second listen, it's more inflammatory.
He really stung him.
Yeah.
Yeah, Brian Roberts. Anyway.
Sometimes we had some major questions about the baseball IQ of some Canadians here and there.
Sometimes
we had some major questions.
Blah, blah, blah. He kind of stumbled. Had some major questions about Canadian fans and their IQ here and there.
Here and there.
Sometimes here and there. We had some questions about the Canadians and their IQ.
Mm-hmm.
I guess it's a good burn.
So, like, let's get the national news on it.
Now, I thought Canadians were supposed to be mild-mannered, but apparently you question their baseball acumen, their IQ, and they're not gonna take that sitting down.
No.
We're not just a hockey country.
Nope, baseball.
We are a baseball country.
Well, the Blue Jays are good again, so they're feeling pretty good about themselves. The Orioles are down.
Yeah,
they didn't like what Brian Roberts had to say about it.
Okay,
he didn't think the fans should boo since new rules limit pickoff attempts. But on social media, Canadians reacted.
Uh-oh.
Yeah, look out. Okay. Here comes the mean tweets.
What's I bet it's a lot of blue sky.
Yeah.
But what do we what do you got? Okay,
fired up. Yeah.
Noting pickoff attempts being booed happens at every ballpark.
Got him. Well, I'll tell you, it's a real war of words.
Back in your place, Brian Roberts.
Yeah, Brian Roberts.
Come out here to Canada.
You want to sometimes, maybe give or take, question R, baseball acumen?
You're in trouble now.
Happens in every ballpark there. Buster?
That's what made it really bizarre for Brian to say that, like, because that's something that all home fans do.
What also made it bizarre is that the Orioles have a losing record and much smaller crowds at home.
So now
burn!
Yeah!
Nobody goes to your games! Nobody even likes your team!
You're like, what? You're like, okay, our team stinks.
Trump might send in the National Guard to Baltimore. So take that!
Your team was good.
Wow.
Blue Jays are good. Good for the Blue Jays.
Woof.
High IQ. Look at that. They're responding to it. Blue Jays. Terp just pulled up a tweet from theirs from the weekend. We got to be real careful when we say this, but high IQ fans are the key to being above 500 at home.
Okay.
Canadian flag emoji.
Got him.
Shush emoji. And then I can't read the hashtag.
So I was just looking this up. Now, is this...
Lights up, let's go. That's what it said.
Thank you. Tim and Sid, is that a show up in Canada?
Oh, Tim and Sid?
Oh, it might now be called Tim and Friends. I'm not sure what happened to Sid.
Oh, no.
Terrence and Phillip.
Sports talk in the sky, maybe. But they're up in arms about this.
Yeah, they're pretty pissed.
Oh, boy.
They got a guy that they're mad at, and that guy is Brian Roberts.
Can I finish? Please, can I finish? Okay, I'm finished.
That's all I really know about Canadians, but let's continue.
Okay, yeah,
Roberts went on to say this about Canadians.
I think, you know, at times it felt like maybe they enjoyed or they knew a little bit more about hockey than baseball.
Okay. Well, I get why they'd be angry about that.
How dare you? I mean, would any of them argue otherwise?
Well, yeah, apparently some of them.
Don't they enjoy hockey very much. They kind of gatekeep hockey in a way.
Yeah.
They would be like, you don't know anything about it. We had our guy Tony Marinaro calling in. Remember his old bit?
Oh, wait, how did I blank on that?
These guys are pretty hilarious.
That's the Canadian Joe I should have referenced.
Well, that's Montreal.
Our good pal.
They're not worried about baseball right now.
Well, our good pal. What did he call himself when he called in?
Curly in Boston.
Curly in Boston. Yeah. There it was. Curly in Boston. Yeah, maybe we should get his thoughts on that.
I don't know. Yeah.
Baltimore really owned you there,
should
Curly.
Should we blame the government or blame society?
Or should we blame the images on TV?
No, blame Canada! Blame Canada!
I don't know if Brian Roberts has been removed from the broadcast yet, but
yeah,
it's pretty harsh.
Yeah,
I think, you know, at times it felt like maybe they enjoyed or they knew a little bit more about hockey than baseball.
The Blue Jays having fun with the comments, crediting high IQ fans for having a winning record at home. And Blue Jay Ernie Clement, who's American, told the Toronto Star, the more I play here and the more I get to know the people of Toronto, the more I gain a respect for what they know about baseball.
Hang on. Now that, is that a compliment?
No. No, it's not.
That was.
So he also thought they were dumb.
I thought you guys were idiots. Then I got here and you guys pay me, and now I'm telling you that you're not as big of idiots as I thought.
I got up here. I met you. You guys are just like me. I always thought you were very different.
Ernie Clement?
Yeah, it sounds like a made-up player.
It's from Rochester.
Rochester, New Hampshire?
New York, I'm sorry.
Okay.
Yes.
We know a lot about hockey, but we know just as much about baseball. We're a very intelligent group here in Canada.
Okay.
Is this guy a plant? Is that guy for real? Is that guy serious?
All right.
Okay.
We're a very intelligent group here in Canada.
And during a broadcast on Sunday, Roberts changed course and said he was sore.
Sorry.
He's very sorry.
Sorry.
There's a drive in a deep left field by Castellanos. It will be a home run.
There he was.
And so that'll make it a 4-0 ball game.
See, that guy's back.
Oh, is he?
Oh, he's doing games on the CW.
Brenneman does.
Thumbs back?
Thumbs back.
Two thumbs up.
Well,
nice.
Doing college football on the CW.
Good.
He's like, coming up next, Riverdale. Yeah, but he's
they had a good game over the weekend, though.
I bet.
Yeah, I'm sure. What was that?
USF in Miami.
I guess they believed his Castellanos apology. They were like, all right.
Good job for Thumb.
He's like, my Fox bosses are going to see this. Remember like his apology? Like the Castellanos thing is what stands out as the memorable part of it because he calls a home run within the apology, which is amazing.
Well, he's a pro. I mean, the man's
but
a pro.
But he's just like, he's not sorry at all. He's just like, my bosses are going to see this. I may never call a game. It's like, okay.
I'm never putting on this headset again.
I'm never putting on this headset again. Like, you probably should have thought of that ahead of time.
All right, so wait, Brian Roberts said he's sorry?
Let's see.
Okay.
I hope that they will accept my sincere apology for what I said on the air the other day.
As for Blue Jays...
Honestly...
How's that?
Cancel culture. How's that? Cancel culture at its worst.
It's coming for everybody.
How are you going to...
Brian Roberts!
Oh my gosh, they're coming for Brian Roberts now.
Not fair.
I hope that they will accept my sincere apology for what I said on the air the other day.
As for Blue Jays fans, they're now focused on the last 2 weeks of the regular season and hoping to show America in the playoffs just how baseball mad Canadians can be. John Venevalli Rao, CTV News, Toronto.
Man, I never even considered the Blue Jays as far as like a team to root for or against. It was like, whatever, they're just like going to be a playoff team. But when you hear something like this, it's going to be very easy to root against them.
So every series they play, we're just rooting for the American team?
I think so.
I think we kind of have to.
And then chant USA in their face.
And if the Red Sox play them, do we have to dress like it's Four Nations again? Get yes. Curly and Boston involved? We might have to.
Yeah, we have to turn this into a country thing. If they play the Blue Jays, well, consider it the World Cup.
Well, they turned it into a country thing. Well, I mean, I guess
good point.
I guess Brian Roberts kind of did, but they
Roberts,
did.
Brian Roberts was in the wrong.
Sneaky Canadians turned true. It into it, yeah.
He was the one ruffling the feathers.
Yeah, he was.
Yeah. So there you go.
All right.
They're hot and bothered. No. They're a prideful country.
And they know their baseball.
Yes, they do.
As well as they know their hockey. We all say it.
Don't know about that, but that's fine.
Brian Roberts had to apologize.
He did, and he hopes that they accept it. I'm guessing they did.
He sounded sincere. He sounded like he really did that on his own.
Uh-huh.
It wasn't forced to do that. Nope. It sounded very sincere. Okay, well, there's a new rival in October.
Very exciting.
Should the Red Sox... I know Alex Cora doesn't want to talk about it. I know Cora's afraid to talk about it.
Uh-huh.
But should they get to October, that's a new rival that they could face.
Mm-hmm.
617, not in the first round. No. 617-779-7937. You can dial up WEEI Afternoons. They come your way at 2 o'clock. We're jam-packed, though, final hour. Clip du jour, grab bag, and Tom E. Curran on a Tommy Tuesday at High One. Next.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. TNCs apply.
It's not coming from Brent Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns. And you're seeing exactly
why it's not coming from those guys? Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him, and they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a grand conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right, and the Shador fans, you wackos.
Maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.